there, After Buzzers. Welcome to another exciting after show of The Expanse. We're talking episode 6, Immolation. We have special guests. We have so much protomolecule, we can't keep it under control. A lot of awesome fighting, Bobby kicking ass as always, and a lot of people finally meeting each other. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
So we got some fun music,
which we'll talk about
in just a minute. Welcome to our very special guests. You guys should recognize quite a couple of them. We'll go down the line. First of all, my name is Carrie. Why don't you introduce yourself?
This is Cass Anvar coming to you live.
Noreen Shankar.
West Channel.
And then you should know Wes and Cass as actors from the show. And Noreen is executive producer and showrunner for The Expanse. And then also the rest of our panel over on the couch.
Hey, guys. Rick Hong here.
Hey, it's me, Cherry.
And then, Noreen, you said before this, what's up with the song?
It's a clue to episode 7, actually.
Mm.
Just a little bit of something to throw out there for next week for everybody to check out.
So cool.
Yep. Right.
So exciting. Cool.
So this episode, I mean, you're part of it. So initial thoughts from over on the couch.
Yeah, well, you know, I thought a couple episodes was like my favorite when everybody got together. This episode, definitely my favorite so far of all the seasons.
Really?
All
right. Nice.
Jerry was on fire, hence the title, Immolation. Everybody got what was coming to them, so yes.
Though no body, no proof. There's a couple people that I'm like, this one's it's kicking up a notch, and finally a lot of people are coming together that we've been wanting them to, like, we need you to meet so-and-so, and then, like, finally get their comeuppance. Also, we do have a live chat on YouTube, so if you're watching this live, feel free to join us in the chat, and if you're watching it later, no problem, comment down below your thoughts on this episode. All right, so, Aaron Wright, we all hate him so much.
I love that guy.
So much.
I love that snake.
Oh,
so good.
It's a good villain, because you're kind of like, that guy. Like, you just
Sean
want him.
So good.
Yes. So on Earth, they're kind of hearing about all the chaos up in space, and you're just sitting there, and just like, man. When they mention the pods, I could swear Aaron Wright's like trying not to smile. Like, oh, really? Just like,
Sean's good moves. He's able to do that. You just sort of see a little bit of flicker of that. You sort of know what's
smile
going on.
Smile in the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And a little forked tongue.
Yeah. We have the Rosie trying to shoot down the pods, but they run out of ammo.
Yeah, I did. Not my fault, man.
You tried. You tried.
And you were running out of ammo, so I mean.
Yeah.
Well, technically, is your fault because you spend all the ammo in the season opener.
Who invited this guy?
To Bobby, so it's
who
technically,
invited this guy?
Just saying.
We learned the pods are going to Mars, so I know obviously the character's like, we've got to stop this.
Yeah, and he double checked a few times. He's like, are you sure? Are you sure? Because what I do next is really depending on if you're sure.
You know what? Your wife was mean to you last time she talked.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No alimony.
No alimony.
Yeah,
but this little boy was so cute when he ran outside to talk to him outside.
I know, right?
Daddy.
Yeah, yeah,
he's a good kid.
He's a good kid. That little actor, man, he did a great job.
He's like, I want to grow up to be like you. Now,
Are you looking at him or are you looking at a blank screen and just...
No, I was looking at a 6'6" assistant director reading his lines.
Who is bored, who wants to go to lunch, has no enthusiasm.
Aww.
Yeah, I know.
I love you, Dad. You're my hero.
Yeah, I had no help on that one.
Oh, man.
I was really happy because
eye contact, just looking down at the lines.
Lunch. Smoking a cigarette.
Well, wait, that's a question for the actors. Is that distracting if you have someone who isn't who you're supposed to be interacting with reading the lines? Is it better for them to like not really be looking at you? Like if they're supposed to be on comlinks or something else? Or is it easier for them to look down or for you to look at them?
I think look down. I think if the person that I'm communicating or interacting with isn't in the scene or they can't be there for whatever reason that day, and there's somebody like the AD or the guy they just grabbed that's, you know, hanging lights, and they say, hey, will you run these? If they don't understand the scene, the context of the scene, they don't understand, they're not listening and communicating, I would rather almost not anybody read anything. Just imagine the other side because it gives you, you can listen to them more effectively if that happens.
I have a funny story about the previous episode where my wife sent me my message. I don't know if I told you this. So I was doing that, and I was not having trouble with that scene, but it was a challenging scene, and a lot of emotions and all that stuff. And Noreen and I had really talked about it a lot, and then we got to the day, and I had talked to the woman who was playing my wife, Supinder Raish, and she hadn't shot the scene yet. And I asked her if she could tape record her performance for me. And so I had it on my phone, and I listened to it, and I kind of prepped that way. Then we got in there, and I just had my phone beside me, and then Joel, our AD, was doing his best.
Like a 6'6" hockey player.
He's like, you're gonna have to, we forget about you. We don't love you anymore. And I was like, and so I did a few takes like that, and I'm like, can you do me a favor? And I loaded it up, and I had him play it on my third or fourth take, and he played the voice, and it hit me like a ton of bricks, and I think that's the take they ended up using. That's the one that really got me going, was I had her voice doing that. So it really makes a difference,
We try to create that stuff beforehand, so shoot those pieces so the guys have to something to play off of, but it doesn't always work out that way.
It doesn't always work out that way.
Then we hop over, we got Mao, and he's like, okay, well, let's just hand over everything. We got no options. Let's peace out, get out of there. You know, if there's no evidence, they can't blame us. Because I think it's like this Martian assault, which you're like, well, not really, guys. And then Strickland's like, no, we're not giving up yet. Did you guys, who did you almost sympathize more with? I was like, I thought it was funny that Mao's like, oh, no, let's drop everything. I'm like, wait, you were the one saying let's continue.
He's a businessman.
Yeah.
Neither guy sympathize. What?
I'm not sure anybody sympathizes with Strickland at all. So
Strickland,
maybe a couple with Mao, but not Strickland.
Mao? No. I'm an Asian. No way. Forget
about that
guy.
I did think it was easy that he had a moment of wanting to do the right thing. And then Strickland just couldn't. He's like, yeah, you're right. All right, let's go.
Yeah. Peace out. Let's go.
Maybe we shouldn't kill. You know what? All right, let's go.
Oh, then the assault, though. Our Rosy team with Bobby leading point, who's super BAMF in this episode. Mm-hmm. I mean, she always is, but... as they're exploring this facility. Then we get the scene in the elevator.
Scene killed with her jumping through that. And a lot of that was like a real place. That's a real place in Toronto. What a great location.
Oh, yeah.
That was Jeremy's apartment.
That was Jeremy's
apartment. And Jeremy.
Is our DP.
Our DP.
Yeah. Our director.
Jeremy Benning.
Yeah,
Jeremy
Benning. Awesome. He's got a nice bar. That wasn't.
It is a loft, but this is much bigger.
Which is like a context for the rest of us.
And she was like, "Oh wow, it's a great apartment."
You have to understand. Like, we get so excited watching these episodes because, for the most part, the actors get to see the finished product when you guys get to see it. Like,
okay.
Like when we watch that thing, all of that Bobby stuff, all of that protomolecule monster, all of that crazy battle stuff, we never see it. Like, we're watching it for the first time with the rest of you guys.
I have watched it about 150 times at that point.
Now, how much of it's practical, though? Because, like, Wes, you're in that scene where they kind of go in, there's four guys, she shoots them, and it's like, the room's clear. How much is actually happening in that for you guys? Because that one, it's more shots going off rather than, like, you know, laser beams or jumping or whatnot.
What scene are you talking about?
The scene when you guys first kind of break into the facility and you go into the first room, and I think Holden asks, how many people are there? She counts four. She shoots them all and is like, okay, room's clear, and you guys keep going. So it's just kind of like shots.
Oh,
that
yeah,
going
that, that was all practical.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that was all. That was actually a really, when they're walking in the light, them all the way down, that was a really big, elaborate set. A lot of that was all practical.
Nice. We always love practical effects. How was that elevator bit where you all are whistling in the dark, as Vassarala put it?
We had a lot of fun at that elevator. Yeah.
That's a lot of fun.
When do you guys fart?
Because we all screwing around in there.
I don't remember that. but there was, in the elevator, we tried a bunch of things. There was a lot of, you know, and I think Terry even broke out and started singing with a microphone.
That's on the gag reel, yeah.
Is it on the gag reel? Yes. Like a full song, and then we all jumped in. But it was really just trying to find what that really meant, whistling in the dark and trying different things. And that was a good time that day.
That's one of the oldest, cheapest cinematic tricks in the universe, because the elevator wasn't moving.
No.
This is, we rolled the background on some light panels and just gave it a little bit of motion.
Somebody on Twitter said 150 years in the future and they still got slow elevators.
Nice.
Right?
We have a couple people in the chat who are very curious about Wes. They're very curious about how Amos has grown and his friendship with Prax. And I personally love the look you gave Bobby when she ran off. I thought there were some sparks going on there.
Ooh. Any comments?
I mean, Ray's going to have to answer those questions.
I know, you're turning a little red over there.
But in terms of how he's grown, I think Kaz is a Terry is a relationship that has really shown a deeper side of him because of how he feels about Terry. And there's something pure and really good and innocent about him, and he cares a lot about his little girl. And he sees Prax slowly start to give in to his anger, give in to his hate, give in to his darkness, to the point where he's going to kill. And I know that if Amos makes that step, I know that if Prax makes that step, there's no coming back from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I live there. So let me handle that. And then you go and have a life with your little girl and be the father, you know. That. And so it was kind of protecting him from the things that I've experienced.
That was a great scene.
It's one of my favorite arcs of the season.
You're not that guy. Yeah. And then I'm that guy. Actually, I want to talk
best
about
line ever. One of the best lines ever.
On the day, it was really funny because Dr. Strickland, what's his name that plays Dr. Strickland?
Ted Atherton.
Yes. So, so Prax leaves, and he has that feeling of relief.
Yeah.
You know, in the scene, in the moment. And when I turn around, he's like, and I see a smile drop. I'm like, oh, and it just made me laugh, and it took me a little bit to not laugh, just to see his expression change.
It was a good change. Yeah. But the funny expression before that, though, is when Prax is like, telling May, this is my best friend in the whole universe, awesome. And your double take like me, like your face.
It's adorable.
I mean, that was, I think, you know, that was a really powerful moment in Amos. And probably the first time anybody ever said that he was their his friend.
Mm.
And for her to take his hand, for Terry, for Prax to give me her hand and my hand is the ultimate move of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a type of a relationship that I've never had before. And so didn't really know how to process it.
It's funny and sweet, like when it happens. Yeah. So it's so fun. The Agatha King getting hit by the protomolecule pod, and we learn too the protomolecule can like attach to ships now and not just people. So it's like dun dun dun.
I hate that shit.
Oh man, yeah. Well, you know what's funny though is like how blue it is and how often the lighting on the Rossi is so blue. Yeah. It gets me so nervous.
Good, good. Like, no, that's good. That's good.
Make us on edge. Yeah. Well, being nervous for it, we got Kotiar, who's still alive, thank goodness. For now.
Right. I know. I was like, what?
Yeah. I'm all, well. Then he gets his kind of brush with the soldiers that they come in. Ensign Larson, I think, is the girl came in. And then she's infected.
I love
that
zero gravity fight.
It looks so good.
Oh my God. I wasn't expecting that when that guy bought it and he was mag booted to the floor. Mm-hmm. And he just kind of stayed there.
Well, everybody in the hallway. So when they're filming that, are they just people like.
Kind of.
Okay. For people listening, I just wiggled my arms like you're floating.
It's called floaty arms.
Buy that.
Because I was trying to figure out, a couple episodes ago, when you guys are really like on the Rossi and you're doing your, I know what I'm looking at.
Uh-huh.
What's actually like on set for you guys to pretend like you're in zero gravity?
We spend a lot of hours doing our actor work.
In space.
And studying, when like a car wash is opening and there's the guys that the air is blowing through. And so we spend hours watching that and mimicking those movements to create. No, okay, I'm just joking. We had a choreographer come.
Mm.
And a guy that's studied weightlessness and movement, and he kind of went and worked with us. And then
we had a couple of astronauts come in.
Wow.
And teach, show us videos and teach us exactly what it feels like to be up there.
The scene you're thinking of is when he's getting fling around in the machine shop.
Yeah.
He's on wires, he's being pulled around.
Oh, so you're on
that's
wires. Awesome.
Because
it looks so good. Knowing that you're telling me now, like, we sit down with NASA people and I'm actually like trying to mimic those, like, makes complete sense.
And all of those pulls and turns are choreographed. So, like, when he goes one direction or goes up or goes back or anything like that, that's all planned.
Nice. When the girl, when the soldier, when she tells Kotiar, when she pretty much gave up, like, I don't know what we're fighting for. Just hurt so much. And you're like, yep, all these people that are at the bottom of the food chain don't know what's going on.
Sounds kind of familiar, don't it?
Just a little bit.
A little bit.
Real world stuff.
Unfortunately.
Yep. Popping back to our team on getting the kids, Bobby trying to lead the hybrid away, and the team's going to go get the kids. Oh, when she starts attacking it, like, come follow me, how cool was that?
So cool. Badass.
But we wouldn't expect her to do anything worse.
I know.
Bobby.
So, yeah, how was it watching it for you guys then when you finally get to see, like, a hybrid walking around? Because otherwise, what's on set? Is it someone in
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing. All right.
Absolutely. That's entirely performance capture animation.
Not even Elias? Joel.
Elias two faxes.
Elias.
Yes, Elias two
faxes. You remember Kenzo from season one?
Mm-hmm.
That's Elias two faxes.
So. Yeah, the actor. Oh. And he's also, he's done a lot of video games. He's in Assassin's Creed.
Oh,
and
cool.
And so he does our performance capture. So he's the hybrid. So afterwards, he creates the movements that we animate on to create the hybrid. And so our goal is to kill Elias in every season. He was the hybrid at the end of season two. Killed Kenzo in season three.
He was so sad when Kenzo died. Yeah. So I said, okay, I'll see if I can get you on. And they brought him back as a protomolar for you.
Then we have a little bit of Anna talking with Secretary General and then how martyrs solidify a movement.
He is so craven. First, I like using that word.
Nice.
Craven.
Nice use of the word.
At first I thought, oh, well, he doesn't know what's going on. And the minute he knew some mess was going down, he's like, who will I blame?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for bringing this to me.
Oh, my God.
To blame him for all that.
Yeah, that was so good.
Ugh.
I wasn't even expecting that.
I wasn't expecting. There are certain things when you watch, because we filmed this how long ago?
Oh, my God. I don't know, 8 months
ago. 8 months ago. So there's certain things that you've kind of forgotten about, and you're watching, and you get wrapped up in the story. And then at the end, when he said, and all this is going to be on Aaron Wright's shoulders, and I was like, oh, mother.
Oh, totally. Well, because she starts accusing him of, like, oh, you're just killing more people. And then she's like, nope, I'm not walking away.
The part I like about that is when Aaron Wright turns to Anna and says, has he always been like this? He doesn't even dignify him by talking into his face.
He's exhausted by this guy. Yeah. Even though he's sentenced to death, he's like, this guy.
Spineless, he says.
Can't take it.
What's the line? He's like, the last person he talked to was a janitor. He'd be passionately disclaiming about a mop.
Yes.
That's a great line.
Yeah, because he doesn't. Oh,
did you
man.
Write that line?
I love it. Daniel Abraham, actually. That was his.
Daniel.
Daniel's forte is some speeches.
It's a great line.
Nice. Well, Aaron Wright probably needs some advice. So,
as a fan of the show, I will be sad if we execute Aaron Wright. I'm just saying.
I don't think he's done for. Well,
I'm just saying.
Before we get into that thought. So,
I love him so much. Okay, good. Go ahead.
Just to say real quick, we got a special announcement. I want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life. For those of you who do, we have the podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was the Expanse team that sent you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition, check it out.
Oh, we will. I watch it. Well, I listen to it every Friday. I've gotten such great advice. It almost made me not mad at my mom for Mother's Day this year.
Oh, wow. Almost.
Almost.
There's a story there. Yeah. I want to hear it.
Well, wait, quick question. Do we think Aaron Wright's done for? Like, do we see we'll see him again?
I thought the Marines were going to turn on the Secretary General.
Yeah.
I was like,
really?
Because he's so sneaky.
Yeah.
He has plots and plans.
No.
He's a puppet. A little bit. I think we'll see him again.
What do you think? What do you think, Noreen?
No comment.
Well, I had a quick question. Briefly, we'll talk about it. How this season's definitely taken a bit of a change from the books. I was starting to read the books, and Anna's storyline has been pretty I like how she's been involved in the show. I mean, she's still involved in the books, but it's a very different path. Noreen, can you touch upon a little bit on how those choices came about at all?
Sure. As we've adapted the books, we've often pulled characters forward from further along in the narrative. Like in the books, Vosrala is not even in book one. She's in book two, and she's such an interesting character, and it gave us a way to like deal with the geopolitics of, so to speak, of the situation and that you know very high level that no other character in the book could actually give us. In a similar way, obviously we're at the end of book two in this season right now. Anna doesn't appear in book two; she's in book three, and so we're obviously heading towards book three. Once again, there's a real opportunity to create a character that we're going to see later on in the season who plays a very big part in book three. Launch her, get to know her, get to see who she is, give her a backstory and some history, and then suddenly she doesn't feel like suddenly, oh, we're just dropping a new character into the show in the middle of the season.
Nice. It's definitely a real pleasure to read the books and watch the show because they're very tied but very different, and so both experiences enjoyable for sure. Back to our crew going after all the kids. Oh, when they find May's photo and they get that verification, she's still there, essentially, trying to stall the escape. And then kind of information that was interesting, all the launch codes controls are coming from the Agatha King.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 not dun, from dun, the planet. Dun. Yeah. You're like, yeah. Oh.
He's on the Agatha King.
I know, right? Who's still kind of there, which we'll get back to him. When Strickland and his assistant and the kids, and they're like, okay, we gotta leave. How quickly they were like, all right, bye, kids. Like, trying to get their escape. And then poor Strickland, not really, that's very sarcastic, playing the victim. Like, oh, you guys got here just in time. It's like, oh.
Yes, we'll use the kids to bargain for our lives. Yes, good idea. Yes. Turn your back on me.
Oh, my gosh.
I saved him.
Yeah. He's like, you came just in time.
What a performance.
Though, yeah. I will say, May's like, why didn't you come to get me? What do you think he's been doing this whole time? I kind of wanted to be like, I just got here now, sweetie.
I've been going through a lot to get here.
Yes.
That's a very kid thing to say.
It though. Is, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. They don't care about your
what
life.
Took you so long?
I knew May was going to snitch the minute she kicked her dad. Daddy, he was giving me shots.
Yes. He tried to turn me into a smurf.
Yeah. Now, you don't often have children on this show. How was it working with kids, Wes?
It was great. I have two kids myself, so they were a lot of fun. They were, you know, but I didn't have to deal with, we just had like, you know, the fun interactions. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to deal with, you know, having them sit still or lining them up or shooting. Like, I just got to have fun with them, so... Noreen, how was it?
Kids are always tricky. I mean, it's like you're limited with hours. You're limited how you can, you know, work with them. But I think May turned out terrifically. Yeah.
Oh, she's adorbs.
She's adorable.
We love her. Yeah. Then our kind of connection to May, how Mao took a second of like, oh, it's kind of like my kid. But then we're like, nope. Holden bumping into Mao. Oh, that was very rewarding. Yes. And he's like, yeah, I'm just trying to stop what's going on in Venus. Well, did you? I don't know if I figured it out. You're just like... Holden's like, what used to
have for
you?
How's that working for you?
Yeah, exactly. Then we hop back over. We have Alex and Naomi going in the Razorback, trying to check
How
out
cool
the Potemkin
ship. How cool was the Razorback, man?
Oh, it was so nice.
I know you already saw it before on the other episode, but that's such a cool set to be on.
That was really a cool set.
It's a useful extra ship to have, too, of, like, their shorter missions. Yeah. Well, we kind of have a question on that. How is the actual practical space in that ship where the seats look like they rotate?
They do.
It's 100% real.
They do.
That's all practical.
Completely real.
I went to visit the set that Bobby and Sheree were on the Razorback. And I saw it, and it was in a warehouse. It was at night, so all the warehouse was dark, and it's on a second floor.
And
you could see it. It's on a platform, and there was just one light in this big darkness, and it's Sheree and Bobby in this spaceship moving around on their seats.
Awesome.
Like, and it was a really cool. Gosh.
Beautiful.
And do they go upside down, too, and everything?
It's a 360 gimbal. It can go like that and go like that.
So did any of the other actors go, can I ride, too?
Yeah, I would have.
It turned. Yeah, it became like a little...
a ride.
Theme park.
Yeah. Okay. Did you get sick doing it?
No.
Okay, that's good.
We kept the speed pretty low because the thing could go really fast.
Is it sped up then, too? Because some parts look pretty fast.
No.
Okay.
You mean like, did we
when
speed
they do
up the
flips?
No.
Nice.
No.
yeah, that definitely looks like a you need training.
It's still up there, isn't it? So if anybody wants to take that,
we're using it as a GoFundMe campaign.
Yeah, Manny will charge you a little bit for that. It's like $20 or
something. $20 a ride.
Yeah. They did save 3 other kids, so yay, we got a few. Which I kind of was trying to remember how many kids actually went in. Of like, what were our numbers that we lost? Because we know we lost Katoa, but was there? I felt there were more kids when we started.
We're trying not to put too fine a point on that.
Okay. Yeah. As in they
These
died?
These are the droids you were looking for.
As in they've died
except,
or just
except
less kids?
The win. Okay. Except the win.
There was 4 to 5 kids.
They're good. They're good.
All right. Back to Alex and Naomi on the Agatha King. Uh-huh. Nguyen is sort of alive.
Holy smokes. Nguyen and Aaron Wright. Boy, that's a combo.
Nguyen was really funny in that episode.
He was.
He was kind of
like,
comedic.
All he needed was that voice.
Yes.
But you know what? He wasn't mustache twirly at all because I think we humanized him a lot in episode 5 when he was talking about what happened to him back in the day and why he felt about the Martians and everything.
No, but I want to punch him in the face.
Yes. it is sociopathic. I know, but it's true.
The way he was talking about the Martians and everybody, I wanted to punch him in the face for real.
Yeah, that's right.
When he kept talking like that your character, are you really like...
Oh, the way he said it. Totally. There was no acting involved in that part there.
You belters. You Martians.
Like you. What is he? What do you call it? You single-minded little
insects.
Reminded me of Agent Smith from
That was kind of the intention.
You're a disease, Mr. Anderson.
And he's just stuck there and like not really moving too. He's pretty much dead.
Yeah.
Trying to change the course of all the pods, which they're kind of doing one at a time, but that's just going to take too long. And then we see KOTR is infected, so you're like, well, crap. Yeah.
Damn.
But, you know, he
went... Have a hard time
that was a heartbreaker.
I liked him.
Oh, I liked him.
When he first
came
out, he was just money grubbing, whatever, if you pay me, I'll be on either side. And all of a sudden, this, like, just incredible decency and willingness to sacrifice himself.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my God. I thought he was going to be saved. And then I was like, they're not going to save him.
And Nick is such a good guy, too.
He's such a good guy. That was big controversy in the writers' room. People got very upset about that.
Well, he almost died before that. I was like, oh, good, he's still alive for now.
People were upset about the idea that he couldn't actually talk to Vassarala at the end.
Yeah.
And that she could only see him. And ultimately, the decision, well, I guess my decision was...
we know what side you were on.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Is that he doesn't... Yeah. You don't get the lovely goodbye... He's doing something that he thinks is right. It's going to have some bad ramifications, and he doesn't really get to say goodbye. He sort of gets to say goodbye. And so he has a moment where they talk about who he's doing it for. Mm-hmm. It's for Vassarala's son. So she just doesn't get the closure.
That's so sad, that moment of being alone, knowing you're going to die, and like no one to talk to.
It's a great moment. I mean, he's just like...
Heartbreaking. Yeah.
Well, they mentioned he cut the comms the way he did or whatnot because he didn't want to be found. But does he know he's on camera that they could possibly hear him?
He doesn't even know she's there. He doesn't even know Vassarala is there on the planet. All he's doing is he's trying to broadcast to everybody around him to stay away from the ship because he's about to blow it up.
Okay.
So he's just keeping everybody away from it, and she just happens to hear it, and she can't talk to him.
Oh. Sadness. On the chat was saying how much they're going to miss KOTR, and they were hoping that you guys gave Nick Carabay a good send-off.
I think we gave him a good idea.
Well, if you're going to go with a bang, right?
Yeah.
So then we get the nice moment of bringing Fred Johnson back in the picture because, well, we can give him the transponder codes and maybe it's a path to peace. Or he's going to take them and, like, do something with those pods. Did we think this was a good plan to give him the codes so that he can blow up the pods?
I don't think there's a choice, right?
Not really.
I agree with you. And if you really analyze Fred Johnson in the context of the show, he has done exactly what he has said he would do every single time. He's been honorable and he's been straight up and he's not never lied. He's never tried to game them. He's never tried to manipulate them. It's just history and circumstances that make you not trust him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, no, I trust. I always felt like that's a responsible person in that sense of helping the greater good. But yay for Naomi going, we all have to agree on this. So took away.
unlike season two.
She learned a lesson.
Unlike season two. That was the reparation.
When Dominique was in, we definitely talked about all of that for sure.
Her knuckles are still sore.
The betrayal.
Oof.
And I held on to that one.
That was a very interesting conversation because we actually had resolved it a little bit more nicely on the page, and Wes and Dominique were like, we don't think this is fixable this quickly, and it was actually a really good point.
Too fast, too soon.
So we changed that.
And
nice.
It's not fixed at the end of six.
Yeah, and it also leaves an emotional window for Prax to come into my.
That's correct.
Wait, Wes, so did you and Dominique get writing credits on that?
he's talking about small suggestions.
Polished by Adam and Dominique Dipper.
We have a great interaction on the show. We spend a lot of time together. We talk a lot about the scripts. We sit to these guys rehearse every Sunday.
I think, you know, I credit Narain with being open for that. I think that there is such a team atmosphere, and creatively it's so open as an actor, as a writer, as a producer, to be able to discuss your ideas and to try different things. And I think that's one of the secret weapons of the show.
I mean, we like, let's be honest, this is some of the best writing I've ever gotten to work on a television show. And if we didn't even do anything, it would be stellar. But because they're so open and we get to work together, and honestly, when the better the material is, the more we get excited and the more we get to do. Like, the arcs that they give us are spectacular, and it just makes us excited. And we get together every Sunday on our own, and we work it and we work it and we work it, and we get so familiar with it that we have so many questions. We go back to them and we say, what about this? What about this? What about this? And they, like most of them, or many of them, they love the ideas and the nuances, and that's what the Rossi crew is all about.
I'm sure sometimes they want to hit us over the head.
Can you guys shut up for a second?
No, I mean, you know, we spend, you know, 6 days a week when we're up there shooting, and we all are really, we work so hard, we dedicate it, we believe in it. And the fact that we have the support of everybody around us is a really
TV shows go away, and actors stop rehearsing a lot in television. They stop spending time together. These guys always stay together. They talk about it. They act like the crew. They want their people to be real. And so I think that it's our job as producers to honor that. It's like, keep the door open, listen to what people are saying, and then sometimes, a lot of times, that leads you down good paths.
Even our guest stars give up their Sundays to come and rehearse with us.
Yeah,
it's really unique.
It's really nice.
Really unique.
Well, everybody coming together and go, well, the end of the episode wraps up so nicely with so many bows that you're like, oh, finally, Fred gets the message, launches the missiles. It's like, yes, he did the thing he's supposed to do. Bobby's hurt, but she's okay. I was kind of worried. I'm like, oh no, is their suit going to crack and the protomolecule get there? I'm like, nope, she's good. Prax and May are bonding and they're back together. Then we get Holden bringing him out of Acerala, which is like, yes. I'm just waiting for her to tear him apart. We get Holden and Naomi makeup. You know, it's like our makeup sex. Woo-hoo. But he says, so you're not staying? And she said, it's time.
Yeah.
Ouch. Don't know if you guys caught that.
Ouch.
I was like, what does that mean? We don't know yet.
What does that mean?
Just wait a week.
Yeah, I know. We'll find out next week.
Wait 2 days.
Just a couple days.
Yeah.
And then the final crazy thing at the end is on Venus, something... a ship, possibly? Launches.
Can we have a little word for Amos giving cereal to the kids?
Yeah, pouring the cereal. I'm like, what the hell is this? I was waiting for the bowl to overflow with the milk.
We actually talked about that. Actually having that happen.
Yeah,
the bowl.
we thought a lot about the pour and how long it's going to be happening. I wanted it to be midstream.
That's a little too much information.
it's not kibble, huh? It's cereal.
It's cereal. I'm curious about one thing, actually.
Yeah.
Is how do people feel about Katoa? Can we have a little word for Katoa?
Oh, yes. We didn't really say that.
Because Bobby blows his head
apart.
Yes,
there it is. Yeah. Bobby, Katoa kind of backs off a hair bit when he's like looking around up in the stars and then shoots his back of his head off. I would go with it's a sympathy kill because he's not really him anymore.
See, it's like a zombie. Yeah, once they turn into a zombie, he's got to... let it go and just be like, that kid died a while back.
Yeah,
I'm curious because I'm just curious how people received that, because you know it's a kid as an audience member, so you're watching that happen. Because the strangest, the weirdest note we ever got on that scene was, it was like a studio network note, was, can they cure Kato at the end? Because otherwise Bobby's killing a child. And my response was, well, every person who's ever died in any war in human history was somebody's child. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point. And that you don't really, that was the moment. And I'm just curious how people got it, because when she says, what are you waiting for? The kid doesn't know.
There's
enough humanity. Well, he doesn't know. He's been programmed to kill, so he doesn't know what he's waiting for. And it's just sort of his little humanity that makes him look up. Mm. It's not a triumphant moment by any stretch of the imagination.
I thought it was more the, you're outside with the stars, and he's...
Yeah, there's that, for sure. Yeah, because he hasn't been out, and he doesn't know, and is like, but there's something human about him that sort of looks up at the sky.
In the chat, everyone's saying that Katoa was long gone. A couple of people were wondering if there was some way for them to have cured the kids that are infected.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
That's one thing about the Expanse fans is... they are so sharp. You know, even the little things that we wove in creating Amos and putting, like, they catch on. They catch it right away, and they understand the story. I'll look at the Twitter feed or Instagram feed, and their description of the scenes, and it's like, were you at rehearsal with us? so intuitive.
I mean, I kind of go with what Rick was saying. If, like, protomolecule is like a zombie thing. Once you're infected, I'm sorry. You're done for. Like, unless they figure out a way, like, kind of like some zombie things, where if you cut off the limb, maybe it hasn't spread to the rest of your body. But it's one of those, no, they've made a point. Like, that's it.
How does that work? If you get protomolecule on your hand, you cut your hand off.
Once it's in your body, you're done.
You're done? Because it gets in your bloodstream?
That's one. Protomolecule seems even faster. Yeah. You had some info you wanted to share.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We need to take an opportunity right now. I'm going to take the glasses off. You need to take an opportunity. I'm serious now.
Walter Cronkite moment.
We have to acknowledge as a company, as Alcon, as cast and crew and the producers, the incredible response that we have received from our fans. I've never seen anything like it. I've never been part of anything that has garnered this kind of love and passion. And what I wanted to say to you, I have actually a written statement that came from Alcon, but personally, I need everybody out there who signed that petition, who got on the social media and tweeted things out, who showed up on Wednesday night last night and bumped our ratings up double digits. You made a difference. Like, you changed the equation. You put the paddles to the corpse, and now there's a heartbeat. and that, I'm not joking. It was buried, and now there's a heartbeat. We're not out of the woods yet. But this is what Alcon has given me permission to say. To the fans and the stakeholders of The Expanse, your passion and your advocacy have not gone unnoticed. Please stay ignited and excited as we work through a few scenarios. The cast, the crew, the producers, the writers, we are all deeply moved and motivated to make this work. There are a lot of moving parts, which is really true. there are no promises at this point, but a commitment to try everything. And then they said, say something in Belter. So, Yam Sing.
Yeah,
but you're a Martian, so yeah.
But, yeah, what did I say? Let's terraform. So this Wednesday... we raised our ratings in double digits last week. I don't know what people did, but turn on your tubes, because that counts. DVR it and then watch it again. That counts. Do not think we are out of the woods yet. We are not. We need this next week as well. We want to bump it up even further, because no matter what happens, and I'm going to tell you a secret, next episode is mind-blowing. Like, it is amazing. I saw a little piece of it, and it is really, really good. So you tune in and watch it live.
You also had a thing about Friday?
Yes. Friday, the 25th of May, we are going to be attending the ISDC, International Space Development Conference, I think it's called, at the Sheraton Gateway Hotel right near LAX. And we are going to be doing an Expanse panel. And it's going to be moderated by Kyle Hill, the Nerdist guy who does Because Science. He's awesome. He did us at WonderCon, and it was amazing. Narain's going to be there. Wes is going to be there. Steven Strait is going to be there. He's coming in from New York. And we might have another surprise guest as well. And we're hoping to get a gentleman called Babak, who is otherwise known as the Mohawk Man. He is the scientist that actually runs
at JPL,
yeah. Who runs the Mars rovers. I think that's his baby. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be an amazing panel. We're going to deal with the science of the expanse. You're going to see clips from all three seasons. I think we're going to be lucky enough to get a teaser for the episode following the panel. And who knows? We might have something to say at that. We don't know yet. So you are more than welcome to come. Like I said, it's called ISDC. At the Sheraton Gateway Hotel. Our panel is at 5 p.m. on Friday, but it's a four-day event. It's all sorts of science, colonizing the solar system. It's all real stuff. Lots of scientists. I think Buzz Aldrin's actually going to be a guest there.
Cool.
Thank you guys so much for everything that you've done. It's been incredible. Your voices are being heard. It really is making a difference. And the work that you're putting out there, the tweets that you're putting out there, it's beautiful and amazing and touching. And
the
just
videos
thank
are amazing.
You.
Thank
videos.
You.
It's been amazing. It's like when you feel like you put something out there, and when you see that it has touched a chord like this, it just makes it really, really worthwhile. So you guys have been amazing.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Any other words there, Wes? I
have never been a part of something with this type of synergy where you work on something that you love as much as that we love the Expanse, and being this connected to the fans and seeing this groundswell of support, and it's making a difference. In a few of these guys in particular. When this is all over, I'm gonna go to their house and take them out for a beer.
Give them a bear hug.
there's some superstars out there that are really making some magic happen. So
and a lot of people are asking about my beard. What's going on with the beard? Well, I'm Canadian and I love hockey, and this is my hockey beard. So until we get a season four.
Until we win the cup, baby.
Until we get a season four, I'm growing this puppy.
All right.
Any other final words for my fellow panelists?
Just, it was lovely having you guys here. Thank you. I mean, thank you so much. And I mean, it ain't over till it's over. So
thank you.
That's right.
It's not. And the fans in the chat are saying how much they love you guys, how much they love the show, that they're planning on watching it live. They're watching it on DVR. They're telling everybody. They're watching it on the app. We're fired up.
Awesome. Watch it live, guys. Yeah. Watch it live.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you everybody so much for watching, tuning in. Thank you for joining us in the live chat. And thank you so much to our special guest. It was an absolute pleasure having you in here. Why don't we go down the line, start on that side, and where people can find you on social media?
I'm on Instagram, and I'm on Twitter at just West Chatham.
At Narain Shankar on Twitter.
Cass Anbar everywhere, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
My name's Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
You guys can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-O-N-G, and I'm going to be doing Netflix in a few minutes.
Hey, you can find me, Cherry_LA, on Twitter and Instagram.
Thank you again so much for watching. Keep doing social media. Keep watching live.
Sign the petition.
Yeah, sign the petition. Again, thank you so much for watching The Expanse After Show. See you next time.
Entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.